As Election Day approaches, we are speaking with the statewide candidates about their priorities. Today, stateside's Lester Graham sits down with the Democratic candidate for Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson.
Welcome back to Stateside.
Thanks, Lester. Thanks for having me.
One of the big concerns is election security and whether that's outside hacking or voter fraud or whatever. What's your plan to make sure the elections in Michigan are secure?
Well, I do think we're at a critical moment where the next Secretary of State must be prepared on day one, as I am, to bring the absolute best practices in election security here to Michigan. And of the forefront of my plan is post-election audits, the type that are in place in Colorado and New Mexico. They're called risk-limiting post-election audits, which have been statistically shown to be the most accurate way of ensuring our machines are accurately counting our ballots. We need to improve poll worker training to ensure that our poll workers are securing our ballots as they're cast so that they're recountable. A lot of the problems we've seen in past elections, like in 2016, have to deal with mishandling of ballots.
So let me stop you and ask you about that, because,
yeah,
you know, poll workers training is basically done by city clerks, county clerks.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you help them do their job correctly?
Well, that'll be essentially my work as Secretary of State, to help our clerks do their job more and effectively through providing them more support, because so many of them are well-meaning but understaffed and under-resourced. So I want to work to change that. On the poll worker side, I want to standardize basic principles that every single poll worker must know. I want to implement for lack of better words, a test. I'm an educator, so that's how educators work, to make sure that people are retaining the information we teach. You say 10 questions before you're appointed as a poll worker that you have to be able to answer in order to earn your spot at the polls that day. And then accountability, making sure that if there is a problem, if a poll worker does mishandle a ballot, that poll worker is not reappointed. And I also want to, and this isn't directly related to poll workers, but in the polls on election day, stiffen penalties for anyone who would work to hack our elections, tamper with our machines, so that there's that additional teeth, that strength behind our desire to ensure we're protecting the voters' experience and our machines.
You've stressed your defense of voting rights. How do you strike the balance between voting rights and this concern expressed by everyone from President Trump to members of the legislature, a fear of voter fraud?
Well, I believe in making it easier to vote and harder to cheat, that everything you do to expand access to the ballot box has to be done securely and with an eye towards addressing any potential data, what data shows to be any potential security threats. And what the data actually shows where fraud or threats to the security of our elections occurs is in two areas. One, in the signature gathering process, which is particularly notable when you're doing petitions or candidates are gathering signatures. So I really do want to crack down on fraud in the signature gathering process, where we need to make sure that whoever's gathering signatures are not lying to voters about what they're signing, that there's no forgery of signatures. And new technologies that are in place in other states can help us do that effectively and even cut costs in that piece. Secondly, on the security, we've talked a little bit about my election security plans, which again is where the data shows we really need to put our time and emphasis in securing our vote. But the other thing I want to add to that is that I also want to create an election security commission that will continually advise myself and our office on any type of threats to the security of our elections, so that we can stay ahead of them and implement data-driven, solution-oriented plans to address them, to protect our elections, all while at the same time, in the same sort of parallel track, increasing access to the vote through things like no reason absentee, early voting, and other policies that data has shows that will increase turnout across the entire state.
Who would appoint those commission members?
I will, with the input of the election security community. And I should mention that the former United States Homeland Security Secretary, Jay Johnson, has endorsed my campaign in part because of this, and recognizing that I'm uniquely positioned with already a nationwide network of people and knowledge in these areas to create something like this. But we'll do everything. My office will be operating in pure transparency and accountability for me and for my office. So I would invite anyone who has suggestions or interest on serving the commission or advising us on our election security to get involved as well, because we want to be as open and transparent as possible.
Proposal 3 is the ballot initiative that would allow no reason absentee voting, same day voter registration, and other changes to voting laws in Michigan. You've voiced support for Proposal 3. If the voters turn it down, what would you do as Secretary of State regarding these issues?
Well, a lot of the issues in there are things that I believe the Secretary of State needs support in the legislature to implement, like no reason absentee voting, early voting. But some reforms I would want to try to implement administratively to the best that I can, knowing that the legislature always does have an input and role there. Things like improving access to military voting, or, you know, and making it so we can more easily transfer ballots to our military service members and back. Things like that I want to work administratively to implement. And then, of course, the post-election audits. We already have post-election audits in Michigan. This proposal would put it in our Constitution. But on top of that, the question is always, what type of post-election audits? Because you don't want to just do them and have them be unsuccessful or inconclusive. And that's why the risk-limiting post-election audits are the gold standard of what you want to implement. So you do need that, you know, additional knowledge base from the Secretary of State to use the office, the discretion of the office, the authority of the office, to make sure that in all these things we're implementing, whether they come through the initiative or through the legislature, we're implementing proposals like these with an eye towards saving costs and also, you know, getting maximizing their impact in terms of increasing access to the vote and securing our elections.
Dark money in campaigns, whether it's through nonprofits, super PACs, et cetera, they're a concern of many voters. Michigan's been pretty friendly toward more spending on campaigns by unidentified sources. The Secretary of State keeps tabs on campaign spending. What could or would you do to keep political spending more transparent?
Well, I have made transparency and accountability in our elections a hallmark of my plans for that office. I'm frustrated, as many of us are, as the fact that the Center for Public Integrity consistently ranks Michigan last among all states in our transparency and ethics laws. And so to change that, number one is disclosure. I think we should have instant disclosure of all money in the political arena, whether it's money being spent on ads to influence our votes or to influence our politicians through lobbying. Disclosure of all of that in a way that is timely and meaningful for our voters is going to be critical at creating and ensuring an informed and engaged electorate. And then secondly, policies that are in place in other states, like disclosure of personal finances of our legislators, expanding the FOIA law to cover the governor. Those types of reforms are in place in other states that I want to work to implement here. We're one of just one or two states that don't have those changes. And in doing so, recognizing that we may need legislative changes, I want to start by pushing the legislature, advocating for those changes through the legislature by creating incentives for voluntary disclosure of personal finances or voluntary disclosure of documents of from an office that otherwise wouldn't be covered by the Freedom of Information Act. Because disclosure laws essentially compel disclosure, but state actors and legislators and our leaders can also do the right thing and voluntarily disclose things as well. And so I want to use my office to create incentives for doing that, a website that will celebrate and highlight those who are particularly transparent in giving perhaps awards to our most transparent actors in state government, and working with citizens as well to ensure we're using all the resources we do have at our disposal to increase transparency and disclosure of the activities and the money in Lansing.
All right, let's get to the important stuff. I think most of us come into contact with the Secretary of State's office by renewing our driver's license or getting annual tags for our vehicles. You've made a guarantee of getting us in and out of the office in 30 minutes. How do you plan to do that?
Well, in three ways. And first, I'll say, it's not enough for me to just talk about reforms. I believe in accountability and results. So the 30-minute guarantee is about succinctly communicating to voters, this is what will change when I put these reforms in place. This is the service that you should expect from your state government, no matter where you live in this state. And so I want to accomplish this in three ways. Number one, within the branch offices themselves, doing a time study, increasing efficiencies, working with those hardworking branch employees to make sure that they have support, that they have access to the best practices of how to move those lines quickly, that we're bringing in new technologies to increase the efficiencies of wait times, expanding appointment opportunities, making sure more people know about those opportunities, things like that. Number two, we want to expand the number of ways that you can access state services, in particular by partnering with local businesses so that you could renew your tabs while you do your grocery shopping, so that you don't have to go to the branch office to do your business with the state. And then number three, reducing the number of times you need to interact with the Secretary of State's office altogether through multi-year license plates or putting more services online, creating an app so that you can get services on your phone. All of those things as well will go into essentially increasing efficiencies in the branch office experience, all of which I hope will, and many others as well, move us towards this 30 minutes in and out guarantee. And I will say, one of the things I have been inundated with as I've traveled the state this past year are comments and experiences in these branch offices that have convinced me we need to do better. And that's why I've talked about this so much on the trail throughout my campaign, announced these changes over a year ago. But in addition to that, I've set up a website on Facebook. People can go to my Facebook page. It's just Vote Benson on Facebook and click on the community tab and share their experiences with the branch offices, good and bad. It's something I want to continue to have as access to as Secretary of State so that citizens can consistently share with us their feedback on how we can improve branch office services.
Is this going to be like pizza delivery? Do we get our money back if we're not served in 30 minutes?
We're going to look into ways to create incentives to get things done. But I think, in my view, this is about a guarantee for service, a goal, and something that citizens should expect from me. This is when I'm saying to people who I'm asking for your vote, hold me accountable, hold me to the standard, so that I'm not just making promises, but I'm actually delivering results.
I've been following your Republican opponent, Mary Treader Lange, online. She's criticized you for not joining her on certain TV news shows and other venues to debate your approaches and how the Secretary of State's office should be run. Why have you chosen not to join her on those various platforms?
We actually have, and we have a debate coming up in a few weeks. I mean, this is the time in politics where people are just trying to get to create conflict and get attention. And look, it's true. Not a lot of people pay attention to the Secretary of State race. And I, as well as I imagine my opponent, want as many people as possible paying attention to this race, seeing the real choice between experience and knowledge and expertise and preparation that there is, and that difference between myself and my opponent. And so I'm excited to debate my opponent, and I'm excited to continue to go on as many television shows and radio shows as I can to get the message out and really get people paying attention to this race. But I'm doing so and just sort of talking to voters about issues and not trying to play any games or throw mud.
Jocelyn Benson is the Democratic candidate for Secretary of State. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.
And a quick clarification. Benson talked about that upcoming debate when she recorded her interview with us earlier this month. That debate was held last Friday. You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Election Day is closing in on us, and we're trying to make sure that you get a chance to hear from the candidates who are running for statewide office. Earlier in the show, we heard from Democratic candidate for Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson. Now Stateside's Lester Graham speaks with her Republican opponent, Mary Treader Lange.
Welcome to Stateside.
Thank you, Lester. I'm delighted to be here.
We have been warned by many sources to be watchful regarding election security. From where do you see the biggest threats to election security coming?
Well, quite honestly, we are in a great spot. We here in the state of Michigan have revamped all the voter equipment that's out there today. We spent over $40 million. 30 came from the federal and 10 from our state legislature. So as far as having the most state-of-the-art equipment, I'm confident that we have that. Keeping with my computer security background, knowing and securing that voting equipment from access to the internet, that's vital. We need to keep that as a separate, distinct separation. And also, I'm a very strong proponent, especially with my CPA background, having a paper ballot, ensuring that we still have that documentation and supportive documentation in the process of ensuring the integrity of the vote.
So, do you see any weaknesses that need to be dealt with in Michigan?
Well, I have a plan which is one citizen, one vote. And I've learned a great deal in the last 13 months, obtaining the support of the clerks and speaking to many clerks throughout the state, and knowing that we need to increase state-of-the-art election training, not only for the clerks, but also for the poll workers. And I have instilled a certification process that 30 days out prior to the elections, that the clerks and the poll workers will be certified, that they are in a position to follow the rules, know the policies, know the procedures. But also part of my one citizen, one vote is we've had a number of understaffed precincts. So my intention, says the next Secretary of State, is to recruit poll workers. I'm going to recruit them from the business environment. I'm going to recruit them from service organizations, libraries, colleges. So we're going to have a group of poll workers that are going to be trained, and they're going to have the qualifications and skills. And so as we have under-precinct locations, we can allocate them and have the support for those areas.
That's going to require quite a bit of coordination with the county clerks, city clerks, wouldn't it?
It sure will. But they will all tell you that they have a limited source. They're constantly recruiting poll workers. But as an active Secretary of State, I'm going to partner with them and be active recruiting the poll workers just as they are, but from those type of organizations.
I want to ask you, because Proposal 3 is going to be dealing with a lot of voting rights issues, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, but how would you strike a balance between voting rights and the concerns about voter fraud?
What do you mean by striking a balance between the voter rights
right, because
and voter
a lot
fraud?
Of people say that in some cases the work to solve the voter fraud problem also puts voting rights at risk because it's harder to get past some of those hurdles.
Well, I encourage every citizen here, every U.S. citizen, that's part of my one citizen, one vote, to register to vote. And the legislature has made it easier. We can do some of the online registration. That's going to take the burden of proof of having to go to the clerk's office. I welcome that. I'm encouraging that. We are at a point right now of 96%. We have 96% of the registered voters are eligible voters. We've done a great job of recruiting and bringing in the eligible voters to be registered. However, you touch on the voter fraud and everything. You know, it's important to protect the integrity of the vote. And I touched on it earlier, is ensuring that we do not allow any of our voting equipment to be connected to the internet. That's where we welcome and introduce the cyber threats, the cybersecurity issues, and the vulnerabilities that we as a state have worked so hard to prevent those. So I, being the state-of-the-art cybersecurity, computer security expert, I will be a proponent of ensuring that we do not tie the internet into any of our voting equipment.
Let's talk about Proposal 3. It would allow no reason absentee voting, same-day voter registration, and other changes in voter access. What do you think of that proposal?
Well, I'll tell you right now, I think that two-thirds of that proposal exists today, and it's tainted with that saying that we need secure ballots, saying we need post-election audits, saying that we need 45 days veterans, their ballots to be delivered. All that exists. That actually exists in the federal and the state laws. So let's pull out the components that is really what we want. No reason absentee, I'm for that. Same day registration, I'm against it. And for that very initiative is why I'm against Proposal 3. You thought your lines were long today. Imagine that you have this surge of people coming out the same day that you're trying to vote to register to vote. Now, they're going to go to the clerk's office, they're going to register, but they still eventually have to get to the precinct. But also something that the listeners need to know is we here in the state of Michigan are the most decentralized state for voting. We have over 1,600, you got that, 1,600 clerks throughout the state of Michigan that are managing elections the day of elections. And we're going to put the burden on them that they're going to be registering and also putting them on the voter roll and allowing them to vote the same day. We're also not processing them through, as we do today. There's a 30-day window. But I was just with the Secretary of State staff. They need at least a minimum of 2 weeks to process a voter through their system, through their verification process and everything like that. We are not allowing that when we're allowing the same-day voting and registration.
The Secretary of State keeps tabs on campaign spending. What do you think of the increase in dark money funding campaigns, and do you think it needs to be more transparent?
Well, I'm all for transparency of the dark money. However, it's not in law right now. And I, as the next Secretary of State, will enforce that just as any Secretary of State should do that. So until that becomes a law, I cannot push it forward.
Most of us come into contact with the Secretary of State's office when we need to get a new driver's license or tags for our vehicle. Both you and your opponent, Jocelyn Benson, say you'll make those visits much quicker. What's your plan?
My plan, I have a tremendous amount of customer service background, and that really is a big differentiator between all my opponents, for that matter. I don't want to see you in a Secretary of State's office but once every 8 years, and I truly mean it. That's when you go to get your new picture for your driver's license. Early in November, I've introduced an SOS app that we can do transactions on our phone, all the way from, you know, registering to vote to renewing your driver's license, renewing your tabs, all those things that you can do in the Secretary of State's office today. Put it on your phone. I like to say I have those modern-day set of skills that are necessary to serve modern Michigan. And so take it to the next level. We have the kiosks that have been tested and proven. To take those and roll them out into 24/7 type retail environments so that you, at your convenience, you can go and do transactions with the Secretary of State. And I don't know if you've used the, Lester, the MyTime, where you can make an appointment. So one of my big initiatives in 2019 to roll that out so it's available for everyone throughout the state. And today we have one mobile unit out there. My goal with doing more with less, finding ways to roll out and purchase more mobile units. I really want to bring the Secretary of State out to the community, bring it out to senior citizen homes, bring it out to college campuses, tailgates, you know, wherever we need to go, to whether it's to register to vote, allowing people the options.
Mary Treader Lang is the Republican candidate for Secretary of State. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much, Lester.